Welcome to the Conversations with Jesus podcast. I'm Johnny Lehman, a baptized man of God who has the amazing privileges of being a husband, father, and the pastor at Divine Savior Church in West Palm Beach, Florida. This podcast is designed to bring you the self-sacrificing love of Jesus found in the Bible through 15 to 20 minute episodes that focus on relevant life issues and what God has to say about them. Check out our website, DivineSaviorChurch.com, as well as our Facebook and Instagram pages to find out more about the incredible things God is doing through our church family. I'm chomping at the bit to get to the incredible words Jesus has for us this week in our podcast. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20 as we continue our series that we've been going through, the series through the Gospel of Mark called Race to the Cross. And specifically, the focus today kind of falls under this umbrella of listening carefully to your coach. So if you think about a coach observes his or her athletes, jots down their notes, compares the times, and then they speak, they teach, they give important directions. Now, those with the humility to accept the instruction and encouragement will grow in their abilities, but those who think they know better will struggle and fall. Well, Jesus, though, he is obviously so much more than just a coach. He's our God. He's our Savior. And so when he teaches and instructs us, it's important we open our ears to listen to his word and then to take his words and put them into practice. And so as Jesus instructs us today through this incredible parable, the parable of the sower, he asks us to listen. His word will work. When we're patient, he brings about his own results from the words he speaks. So again, super excited to look into this amazing parable and see how relevant it is for us today. Here it is, Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out in the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. So other seed fell in good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. And then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." This is the good news, the gospel of our Savior Jesus. Have you ever noticed how we as people are suckers for stories? It's the reason we Netflix binge or we read every last page our favorite authors have ever written or set at the side of our grandparents. There's something about those instantly magnetic words. Can I tell you a story? And so it's no strange thing for a story to be far more impactful than someone merely telling you what to do. Now, in that vein, I think back to when my parents convinced me that going to summer camp would be fun. It was not. Not for me. I was having a miserable time, especially with the ropes course. So no matter how hard I tried, I could not make it through until I got the right coaching. Now, the first counselor who tried to teach me ended up so frustrated, he walked away from me, looked at another counselor, and I could hear him say it. He said, "Good luck with that kid." And I was just so ready to quit. But then a counselor named Kai, he took me by the shoulders and told me the story of when he first learned. And now once he stopped looking down at his feet, his balance totally changed. And so I tried it. And I almost made it through, but I still ended up with a face plant. But it was worth it. Now, of course, what had changed? Well, I listened to his story. I pictured myself in his story, and it made me think about the ropes course in an entirely different way. Now, if you take this idea to the deepest level, Jesus' stories have a life-altering impact. He, after all, wired us for stories, and the story from Jesus we're going to hear today, hear this week in the podcast, it's going to challenge you. In fact, you'll find yourself caught within it, trying to figure out your story, and you'll be forced to face this question. Here it is. What soil am I in? I'm guessing that's not a question you ask yourself very often, but that's what Jesus wants you to visualize as he tells his famous parable of the sower. Now, before we jump into his tale, what exactly is a parable? Now, some have defined it as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, but even more specifically, it's really an extended metaphor designed to draw in the story-obsessed selves we are. And so as we sit down on the beach of the Sea of Galilee and listen to Jesus, here's some things to ask yourself. Where am I in the story? Where is Jesus in the story? And where is this story leading me? Now, like any story, we need to know the unspoken story, the context. So we find Jesus here, still surrounded by tons of people on every side, but this time, unlike the last two podcasts, the beginning part of Mark, this time he's not in a house, but he's pushed to the edge of the shore. And there's something in the text here that's ominous. The idea here is that the people are squeezing him out, pushing him further and further away. And how does Jesus react to this push? Well, he speaks their language, right? The language of story. So here we go. Picture yourself in that crowd. You can feel the mist of the sea hanging in the air. And Jesus takes charge. He says, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell in good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. And then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Maybe at this point you're thinking, huh, what in the world is Jesus talking about with seeds and sowers and soil? Like, what is all going on here? Well, apparently, the story was so strange that this crowd pressing in on him one by one began to leave until all that was left on the sand was Jesus, his disciples, and a few others who were desperate to know what this story meant. And so, as the young kids would say, Jesus goes meta here. Gives us the meta narrative of the narrative. But first, he chides them a little, right? This kind of fits in line with how we've seen Jesus. He says things in the Gospel of Mark that might strike us as a little harsh, but again, there's always love behind him. He looks at his disciples, this group of people around him, and he says, "Don't you understand this parable? How then do we understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. And as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them." Now, remember the big question we're asking ourselves this week. What soil am I in? What soil are you in? Is it the hard, unbending path? The seed simply cannot burrow deep enough, and Satan takes it away. Now, how does this happen? It's pride. See, Jesus graciously throws the good news out to all the world, the gospel. But what stops it from germinating? The hard ground of pride that I find in my own heart. And it's found, for you and me, it's found by this simple diagnostic question. Is there anything in the Bible you don't want to understand? For example, do you really want to understand how God defines love? Or what sex is all about? Or how God would have us view money? Is there something in the Bible that instantly makes you tense up and have selective spiritual hearing? That's the point of when Jesus, when he says, "No, he who has ears, let him hear." That's having ears, but not actually hearing, not actually listening. It's giving Satan the chance to snatch away a life-changing truth of Jesus' story from your heart. And maybe you find yourself standing in rocky soil. Jesus goes on. He says, "Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away." When I read this verse this week, I couldn't help but think of Catherine. She started coming to our church about a year ago and was so excited that she immediately jumped into Star Class. And she had never thought before about how amazing it is that God loves her fully and died to forgive her. But then that joy was lost when she lost her job. And she said to me, "If God really loves me, he would have never let that happen." And sadly, she hasn't since then replied to a text or phone call from me since. What about for you and me, though? Maybe you're like me, that you've had the amazing blessing of your entire life being connected to Jesus, right? How's that happen to lifelong Christians too? Well, maybe you walk out of church with joy, but then when life happens, you and I can become joy forgetters, and faith can become a chore. Or maybe right now you feel like you're being choked out by the thorns of life. Jesus goes on, "Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but when the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful." Now, if I had to choose the one soil that I seem to stand in more than I wish I did, it's this one. Now, we are creatures of our culture in a lot of ways, right? We live in this age of avoiding FOMO, or the fear of missing out. So we pack our kids' schedules with dance to SAT prep. We go to networking events on the daily. We try so hard to squeeze every last bit of experience out of life. We strive for a certain standard of living, or that salary. And we forget that money is not the measure of our worth, but merely a God-given tool to use for his glory. Now, what can happen in all these things? Well, it's the word getting choked out. It's silenced. It almost becomes a hindrance to the life that we're convinced will satisfy. Or, by God's grace, do you find yourself standing in the soil we all long to be in? Others, Jesus says, like seed sown in good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Now, maybe at this point you're on to me. You know, the question we've been struggling to answer, what soil am I in? It's a little bit of a trick question. We find ourselves in all of them, don't we? I mean, sometimes in life, pride steals our joy, or adversity rocks our faith, or our busyness chokes out God's voice, but this is the beauty of Jesus' story. This whole time, we've been doing what we humans are wired to do. We've placed ourselves in the story. We try to make the story revolve around us, but we're missing the main character of the whole parable. In actuality, the only character, living character in the story, that's the sower. Now, the sower here, right, he goes out early in the morning, bag of seeds in hand, and all he does is throw. Some here, some there, no real precision, just generous tossing in every place that he walks. Now, Jesus tells us that the seed is the word of God, and the sower is the giver of all good things. It's God. He doesn't throw his seed of the word only in certain cultural flower beds. He doesn't carefully place it in the soil of certain people who have quote-unquote earned it. No, his word is for all. The sower is defined by his love for just throwing seeds. Even if you're standing in that rocky soil, or that trampled on path, or being choked out by weeds, he continues throwing that seed, right? Throwing that seed again and again, again and again, again and again. See, the sower is defined by his love for just throwing seeds. Jesus, the Savior sower, he loves being recklessly generous in bringing his word to you. And so he keeps throwing Christians and Bible verses and hymns right at you when you're standing on that hard ground of pride. And yes, to soften that hard ground, it may require some humbling, but he won't trample you. He cultivates you. He cares for you. He makes that ground fertile by reminding you again of his hands thrown open wide on the cross. And yeah, when trouble hits and you feel like your life is just a constant putting out fires cycle, he soothes you. His word comes to you in that moment of storm, being rocked by trial, terror, or tragedy, and he says, "Be still." And while those rocky times may remain, he fortifies you, and he won't let you be broken down. He protects your joy and shatters the walls of despair. Even more, when you feel choked out, burned out, so caught up in the rat race that you feel like you'll never be enough, he breaks that grip. He rips out the burden. He speaks through that seed of the word, "Come to me and rest." Your worth is not based on your bank account. Your significance is not tied down to your kid's success. Your identity has never been something for you to create. It's rather this. It's Jesus saying, "I've called you by name. You are mine." See, Jesus is so much more than a life coach. He's a sower. And he not only wants to plant seeds, he wants to grow them too. Now, what does that growth look like? How can we produce 30, 60, 100 times what was sown? It's next generation growth. Disciples making disciples growth. And I've always stood amazed at how Jesus did that for me. Now, I was, by God's grace, born to a family that from generation to generation passed down a legacy of grace of sharing Jesus with me. A family filled with imperfect, broken people, but who made it a passion to throw the seed of God's word in my life. And on days when I feel down, I can't help but just reflect on that grace that God placed me in with that group of people. It brings me joy. Now, maybe for you, and you're certainly not alone in this, in fact, probably is the case for most people, that wasn't the case for you. That's not your story. I know for many of you, becoming a Christian was not a family tradition. But no matter what your faith backstory is, it's filled with sowers. Christians with the seed planted, joining the Savior sower Jesus and throwing seeds just like him. How do you avoid the hard ground of pride? Well, reflect daily how Jesus chose to forgive and buy back a sinner like you and me. How you're dearly loved by him. How do you navigate those rocky life episodes? Well, you open your Bible and hear your Savior speak. In this world, you will have trouble. Yes, but take heart. I've overcome the world. What does next generation growth look like when you feel choked out by life routine, the monotony of craziness? Well, it's taking your kids and grandkids in your arms and telling them a story about Jesus and smiling as you think about them doing the same thing with their kids someday. Because here's the thing, growth begins and ends with the sower. And he's there, sowing his seed, no matter what soil we find ourselves in. Amen. It was such a joy this week to dig deep into the parable of the sower and, again, to see Jesus there, this incredible story that makes us more than anything reflect and rejoice in the generous grace of our God. He keeps throwing out that seed, and by his grace, he continues to grow us and mold us to be more and more like him. God's richest blessings as you live for him this week and always.